What's the largest animal you've ever transported? I don't have an interesting answer to this question. The only large animals I've ever transported were cats. When I first moved to New York City, I lived with a 20-pound cat named Indiana Jones. He hated car rides and wasn't thrilled leaving Ithaca, New York at 2 a.m. in the morning for the 5-hour drive into Manhattan. He was mad during the entire journey. But I didn't need to do anything special to transport him the 230 miles to his new home. I don't know how to transport a large animal, but I can imagine what it might be like. Today, when I think about moving a large animal, I think of horse trailers, the ones I always seem to end up driving behind. As I drive behind them, it always seems like the horses in that metal tin can are a bit content. Their tails swish back and forth as they stand in their metal enclosure, zooming down the highway at 65 miles an hour. I imagine that this kind of setup could be used to move all sorts of animals, like cattle, cows, and sheep. If all of us were farmers, and if we raised our own animals, we probably would know exactly what it takes to move animals over a large distance. But if we were living 2,000 years ago, without trucks, highways, or any modern equipment, we might have a different kind of experience trying to move cattle, cows, and lambs. It would take days or weeks to travel even 60 miles. We would need to carry all the food and water that we and the animals would need for that journey. We would also need to make sure that we followed a route that was safe, free of any bandits and robbers, or maybe pay for armed guards to protect us as we traveled. And we would finally need to say a lot of prayers, hoping that no storms or floods or broken legs caused by stepping into potholes would hurt, damage, or even kill our animals. Moving animals in the ancient world was probably a big pain. And if we only needed to bring a few with us, or maybe even one, we would want a system where we didn't need to bring any animals at all. Instead, we would just want to show up and have the animals right there. This kind of setup would be helpful for farmers who had to travel long distances, and it would also be helpful for those of us who weren't farmers at all. Instead of spending all that time, energy, and resources to bring a large animal with us, we could just buy one and save ourselves the trouble. That might be the most helpful, maybe even the most grace-filled thing we could do, if the animal we needed was there to help our relationship with God. Through the special use of certain animals in the place God declared as holy, the system of sacrifices used in the temple in Jerusalem was, I think, focused on showing how God actually cares about us. The sacrifices were about more than just trying to cover up any of our sins. They were a sign of our commitment to God, who is already committed to us. A room full of animals ready to offer to God, as described in the Gospel according to John, could easily be seen as a holy gift. So if someone walked in with a whip and drove the cattle, sheep, and everyone out into the street, we might be annoyed, shocked, and angry at what that person just did. Jesus is a bit of a punk in our scene from the gospel today. He's angry, aggressive, and violent. He scared the people and animals, disrupted everything in the temple, and sent the cattle and sheep to go on a rampage through the city streets. We tend to, I think, downplay the emotion displayed in this scene. We highlight the corruption, pointing to the moneylenders who were converting Roman coins into the money the temple used, and who were probably overcharging and skimming off the top. We take that corruption, combine it with our belief in Jesus' meek and mild manner, and claim that this scene wasn't that upsetting. Jesus, we say, is angry, but not that angry. He doesn't, we imagine, get as upset as we do. But I'd like to invite all of us to stay in this scene as John described it. It's supposed to feel emotional. It's supposed to make us cringe. We need to be shocked by the wildness of Jesus in this moment. Jesus isn't, I think, flying off the handle. He knows exactly what he's doing. But he's still disruptive, still emotional, still human. And he clears out the temple, being as angry as any of us can be. Jesus, in this moment, in the gospel according to John, is very human. And he showcased his humanity with his words. He poked those around him by saying he would raise up a temple, restore one of God's gifts in only 3 days. The people in that room didn't see Jesus' point of view. They focused on the gifts from God they knew. They knew the temple, its system of sacrifices, and how God made the temple the place where the divine and the human met. The temple was more than just a fancy building. It was where God promised to be. You might not see or sense or experience God in your life, but everyone knew that when you entered the temple, when you brought your gifts of an animal or food or even money, you knew God was there. The temple was a gift because it was the place where God's realness could be experienced and seen. The Jewish people around Jesus knew what God's gifts looked like. And those gifts for them are still, even today, very real. But Jesus was announcing that for the rest of us, a new gift was being offered. And that gift's temple, this new and holy place, was a very ordinary, very normal human body. Which is totally odd, because bodies are weird. They grow and change and never really stay the same. We can work out and train and get our bodies to do amazing things, but they can also wear out or break or get sick. It's difficult even today to believe that a body, unique but similar to ours, could be a new and holy place. Jesus, who ate and sweat and got tired, and probably even smell just like we do, is the place where God decided to make the divine real. It's through real hands and real feet that Jesus chose to make himself known. Scripture never tells us if Jesus' body was perfect. And I believe we make a mistake If we act as if Jesus never had an upset stomach, or acne, or felt a real emotion. God declared that in Jesus, the human body, Jesus' body, and your body, as it is a beautiful and divine thing. And it's through this very human body, with very human needs and very human emotions, that God chose to use it to adore, cherish, and love the world. Now, I've never transported a large animal. I've never had to figure out how to carry and move any kind of large body. But I do know that Jesus came to show that God cares about all of us, including our body. Because it's through bodies that we experience God's gifts. Our body is how we hear and see and notice the love that God gives us. And it's through our humanness that we notice and live in those places where God comes down to meet us. Our bodies are the place where we experience God's blessing, and it's through these bodies, as they are right now, that God chooses to use them to bless those around us. Our bodies are not perfect, but they are, through our connection with Jesus, a holy place where we feel God and where those around us discover how much God loves them. Because the Jesus who showed the holiness of his body in the temple has made each of us, through our baptism, into our own kind of holy place where people can and will and must meet him. Amen.